kick it off. Get them to speak tonight. I wanted to speak something about the holy name, which is very important to our tradition and actually other traditions as well. The title to this lecture is How to Experience the Unlimited Power of Krishna's Holy Name. So I'll say a few things about that and then talk more generally about the holy name. So, what's the holy name? Is the name of God, or say the name of Krishna. God has many different names and different traditions. There's one scripture in India called the Vishnu Sahasranam, the thousand names of the Lord Vishnu. So, God is not limited by one name, and even though a thousand names aren't said to be a complete list. And then in the Kabbalah, there's 72 names of God. And the Quran is either 99 or 100 names for Allah. So, in Hindu teachings, Krishna is probably the most important of the different names. The Lord is the all-attractive person. So, when I thought how to experience the unlimited power of the holy name, how do you experience the warmth of the sun? You just go out into the sun and get warm. So we experience the power of the holy name by coming in touch with the holy name. And the holy name is so great that even if we approach the holy name without full appreciation, still so much benefit is there. One verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, 2nd chapter, verse 14. Sankesam Pari Hasam Bhava, Stobanam Helanam Eva, Kuntanam, Grahanam Sesagam, Haram Vidu. It says, even if one chants the holy name to indirectly, to indicate something else other than the name of God, actually the story of this verse appears this. This gentleman, Adamiel, he had a son named Narayan, which is the name of God. So he was calling his son. He wasn't even trying to pray to God. He was just calling his little boy. But his son, his death was approaching and he was in great anxiety and he called out his son's name, which happened to be the name of God. And he became free from all sins by calling his son's name because it happened to be the name of God. So that indirectly, Parihasam, jokingly. Sometimes people have been known to tease the Hare Krishna. And in the course of such teasing, they've actually said the name Krishna. So those people also, it says, Ashesagam Haram Vidu. The learned people know that Ashesa, unlimited agam, simple activity, haram, are removed simply by the chanting by Kuntanama Grahanam, the name of the Lord of the spiritual world. And then Stobanam for musical entertainment. So what we're attempting to do just now was partially for musical entertainment. We set up some instruments and we're playing them to the best of our ability. And so and some people, they may not know the value of the chanting, but they may like to do it because it was musical entertainment. It's described at one time that the Beatles, they had some connection with the Hare Krishna mantra, and sometimes at one time they're sailing in the South Pacific and they're on this boat and they chanted for 6 hours the Hare Krishna mantra. And I'm sure they didn't know all the theological significance of it, but you know, it was a cool melody they heard. And they went with it. And the last one, Helanam. Helanam, it means like with derision or critically. Sometimes people hear cursing someone and they utter the name of God. Sometimes they even curse the Hare Krishna. And they go, damn, Hare Krishna, why are they making so much noise? So, Even in that way, also, the person is free from unlimited sin. So, but that's not the whole power of the holy name, just to free one from sin. If one actually chants in a better state of consciousness, one can attain love for God, which is a state of unlimited transcendental pleasure. And I was thinking of titling the lecture The Nectar for Which We Are Always Anxious, because that one prayer by Lord Chaitanya, where he glorifies the holy name, delivering such nectar. To get that experience of the holy name, Lord Chaitanya, he recommended that we develop spiritual qualities of humility and tolerance. After all, God is very great and we are very small. So it's actually befitting to be humble when we approach God. And tolerance is required because sometimes it's difficult to glorify God because we're in the association of people who don't want God to be glorified. Or that sometimes, due to our own lethargy, we don't feel like glorifying God. We have to push past whatever impediments are there and keep going. So these two qualities, humility and tolerance, are very, very powerful. And if we can acquire them, then we can take some of the nectar of the holy name. And another great saint in our tradition gave another clue about the chanting, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. There's 10 different offenses in the chanting which cause it not to bear fruit very soon. It's so powerful, chanting the holy name has to bear fruit at some point. But if one commits the different offenses, which are 10 in number, which would take too much of the class if I was to delve into them. But even if one's addicted to committing different non-devotional activities that are offensive against the holy name, if somehow or other one can chant the holy name with attention, one can become so spiritually purified that he can conquer over all impediments in his chanting and attain love for God. Even if he's completely addicted to all the 10 offenses, if somehow or other he can force himself to chant the holy name of God attentively, it's not purifying. It one will eventually free from all material contamination. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur recommends that one somehow or other try to tap God's name with attention. So there's different descriptions of this nectar of the holy name. One verse Srila Prabhupada quotes in the 5th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So mantra yoga nonante satyanande siratmani ikirava padjayi na sao param ram vidyate. The mystics derive unlimited transcendental pleasure from the absolute truth. And therefore, being the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is known as Rama. From the Padma Puran, in case you were wondering what Rama meant, the absolute truth is full of unlimited transcendental pleasure. And this is a quote by Rupa Goswami. Actually, a couple different Hare Krishna books we have are written by Rupa Goswami. He was a writer in Bengal in the 1500s. And he just had a lot of devotion. And he wrote this one verse. I do not know how much nectar the true soul of Krishna have produced. When the holy name of Krishna is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. And when that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when that holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all of the senses become inert. So he was very enthusiastic about chanting the holy name. It said that he wouldn't sleep more than 2 hours a day because he was having such a good time doing his devotional activities, he just didn't get around sleeping. So one might ask, why is there so much pleasure in chanting the name of one important theological idea is that there's no difference between God and His holy name. That idea is there also in the Christian tradition. They say, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. In other words, God and the name of God are identical. And God is full of pleasure. And even in this world, when we associate with somebody who is very happy, sometimes just by their association, we can become happy too, even if we're depressed. Sometimes there's people like that, they're just always bubbling over with happiness, and if you associate with them, even if you feel bummed out, you become happy. And God is a person who is unlimitedly happy. Not even the slightest smell of distress can touch Krishna. And so when we chant Krishna, we're associating with Krishna, and therefore there's pleasure in that. And another way one can analyze it is that Krishna is pleased when we chant His holy name, and out of reciprocation for us pleasing Him in that way, He gives us pleasure. So this chanting is described in many, many places in the ancient writings of India to be just the ideal way to connect with God in this particular time period. This is called the age of Kali, or the age of war and hypocrisy. We see actually war and hypocrisy all around. My friend was just telling me that he was listening to on the news, somebody was talking about the virtues of a vegetarian diet, and they were saying so many things, and then the reporter asked the person, "Well, are you vegetarian?" And they said, "No." So, and then they went on to say, well, they valued it, but they noticed that sometimes people who are too fanatical about anything, they become psychologically unbalanced. You know? Basically, the guy was a complete hypocrite. And this is typical, right? there's one verse in the Bhagavad Gita where Arjuna is telling Arjuna that he should act in an exemplary way, because that people tend to follow the leader, and if the leader acts in an exemplary way, then it's good for everyone. And then Prabhupada explains in the purport that a true leader is someone who actually follows the instructions that he gives out. One cannot tell someone to stop smoking if he himself is a smoker. When I was a kid, I used to have a doctor who smoked a pipe. It just didn't make any sense to me, because everyone knows that you smoke a pipe, you know, you can get cancer in the mouth. And also cancer in the lungs. So, at any rate, this is the age of war and hypocrisy. And there's many, many verses glorifying the term as a remedy for this age. There's one pair of verses that go, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Iti Sudashakam Nam Nam, these 16 names, Kali Kamasanasanam, destroy all the inauspicious attacks of the stage of Kali. Rama Prakaropaya, there's no superior process of Sarva Vedishudhisati in all of the Vedic literatures. So that's why we have this specific mantra, although it describes that all names of God are identical with God and fiercely powerful and transforming and blissful. This mantra is especially recommended for this age. Here's another one. Krishna Varanam Krishna Krishna Sango Pangasya Parshadam Yagnai Sanskritana Paya Yajati Hisani. It's about Lord Chaitanya, who's the deity on the altar, and the two principal deities, the one on our right, Lord Chaitanya, his incarnation of Krishna, who appeared in Bengal 500 years ago. It's described that in this age he is worshipped by the congregational chanting of the holy name. Persons with sufficient intelligence, actually, they worship him by the congregational chanting of the holy name. There's another one that no hardly anybody recalls, but it's very sweet. Those who advance, actually advance in knowledge, are able to appreciate the essential value of this age of color. So it's such a bad age. We're always reading in the newspaper some, you know, disasters are happening. I see even this city of Tucson is that guy with mad with a gun and shot so many people. So there's so many anomalies in this age, but the advanced people, apparently, they glorify this age of color because it has a special value. Such enlightened people worship Kali Yuga, this incredible age of so many anomalies, because in this fallen age, all perfection of life can be easily achieved by the performance of Sankirtan, the congregational chanting, the holy name of the Lord. Another one. Praya nama deya muni vinda deya hedana vandanaya kalamaksharakute sadanadanada pitanada viritam yilok tapa palkalindanam pati. O holy name, sung by the sages, O transcendental syllables that bring bliss to all people, even if you are spoken only once, and even if you are spoken disrespectfully, you at once remove the many harsh sufferings of anyone, of everyone. So, usually if people are mean to us, we don't feel inclined to benefit them in any way. But this holy name is so wonderful that even if we chant it disrespectfully, it's still all the bad karma that's destined to come our way is removed. So it's very amazing. So it's interesting to me also that this holy name is glorified in other traditions. I was checking on the internet in the Bible. There's a few places where the holy name is glorified. In Psalm 8:1 it says, O Lord, our sovereign, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. And then Psalms 149:3. Let them praise his name with dancing and make music to him with tambourine and harp. So that may be the glorification of the holy name with musical instruments is also there in Judeo-Christian tradition. And then in the New Testament, Acts 2:21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So, this chanting is a great opportunity for everyone to experience. And there's this nice verse in the Gita where Krishna tells how he relates to people. It says, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follows thy path in all respects. O son of Pratap. So, that basically means that we have as much of God's association as we want. As far as we've surrendered up to this point, God has reciprocated with us. And he's promising us if we surrender more, he will reciprocate more. So, our spiritual perfection in that sense is in our hands. It's basically dependent on how enthusiastic we are to go for it and attain it. So this Lord who reciprocates with our surrender has appeared as his holy name. So as we surrender to his holy name, he will reciprocate with us. And therefore we can experiment with surrender to the Holy Name in our life. And you have all done that by knowing the other way. You come here and participated in the chanting earlier and hearing this lecture, which is we often talk about chanting the Holy Name of the Lord, but we don't so much talk about glorifying the Holy Name of the Lord. But that's equally important, and perhaps it's more important because it will motivate people to chant the Holy Name if they know how glorious it is. So both by volunteering to chant earlier and hear about the glory of the chanting, you are surrendering to the Holy Name, and Krishna will reciprocate. And as we surrender more, he will reciprocate more. So after this talk, we're going to have another opportunity, and there'll be some aarti ceremony, and there'll be some more chanting. And we can try and see how much we can surrender and how much Krishna reciprocates, because there's really no loss, actually. You can't lose anything. By listening to every syllable of the Holy Name, by chanting with all your heart, by jumping up and down, there's really no loss. You would even get some good exercise by dancing in the kirtan. And you may get some higher realization. You may get glimpses of this bliss that's being advertised by these great saints. These saints who are so enthusiastic that they stay awake for 22 hours just to engage in devotional activities because they got some higher taste. We were just hearing this week, there's one great saint in our tradition, Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj. When he wanted to increase his spiritual program, what he would do is he would get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and he would chant until sundown. And then he would have something to eat. And he did this for three months. So he was very enthusiastic, but I think he must have had some higher taste, because I don't think by brute force, you know, you could just, you know, for 90 days straight at 3 o'clock in the morning and chant for like 16 or 17 hours and then have something to eat. I think by a previous process, he already got some realization of the ecstasy of the whole thing, and therefore he just wanted to get a little bit more and was ready to try. What seems as to us is extreme measures. So there's one very nice the Sanskrit poem glorifying the Holy Name, and I've said that many of ours named Dravida Guru, who lives not so far from here in San Diego. He likes to take different Sanskrit poetry and turn it into English poetry. So I will attempt to read this English poem of based on the Sanskrit poem. The holy name of Sri Hari is all it be. So Hari also is a name for Krishna. Hari comes from a word that means to steal, actually. So why would God be addressed as someone who's involved in stealing? Well, there's a couple of explanations they give that Krishna steals away the material attachments that are keeping us from developing our devotion to him. That way he does the favor. And also, because he's full of so many attractive qualities, if he would actually become directly in touch with Krishna, he would steal our mind by his transcendental beauty and qualities and activities. So, the holy name of Sri Hari is all it be. Of sweet things, it's the sweetest you will taste at any time. Of things that bring good fortune, it's good fortune's paradigm. Of things that purify, it purifies most powerfully. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all it be. From Brahma's realm atop the sky, down to the lowly grass, illusion reigns in my deities, treacherous harass. The truth, the only truth, the name of Sri Hari, the holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. He is the guru, he is the father, he is the friend of most true. And she is the real mother who most kindly teaches you to all the time hear the holy name of Sri Hari. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Remember that our final breath may come at any time, no matter if we're old or sick, or in our youthful prime. So young and old alike should chant the name incessantly. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. So Lord Sri Hari forever dwells wherever devotees whose hearts are fixed on him and free of all impurity uplift their voices high and sing his name ecstasy. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Alas, what sorrow, what great pain, the worst calamity for people to forget the holy name of Sri Hari. Although the name is a priceless gem, mere golden glass they see. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Just fill your ears, just fill them with the name of Sri Hari. Just chant the name with all sincerity. Just sing the name, just sing the holy name eternally. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. It makes this world appear like bits of straw upon the ground. It splendorously reigns supreme, divinity and sound. It fills its transcendental bliss and peerless purity. The holy name of Sri Hari is surely all that be. Inspired to glorify the holy name of Sri Hari, a certain sage composed this hymn in Sanskrit poetry. I pray that those who read this lowly version made by me will chant the holy name of Sri Hari in ecstasy. So those are a few thoughts on today's topic. There's 1 minute if anybody has any questions. Yes, sir. It's passed down for many years, and the person did it by it originally, so it's an anonymous Sanskrit scholar with a lot of devotion. Yeah. Anything else? There's a few seconds left. Yes.
You had mentioned that the name of God is constituent to the God being that is full of pleasure. I wanted to ask, is the name of God inclusive of those dark things in this world? So if you want to take it to an extreme, the evil perhaps such as was visited in the community recently with that young man, is that part of God as well?
God, that's the back of God. God is so all-inclusive that everything is included in him, but irreligiousness is described to be the back of God, indigenous his heart. So when people ignore God's direction, they do so many crazy things that hurt themselves and hurt others. Because God gives them free will, they can do that, but they can't escape the punishment. Those people will be punished in this life and perhaps many, many future lives for their wrongdoing. But freedom is there because there's no love without independence. So God gives us independence, but the people who misuse it, they will be punished by the grace of God in the future. And that part of his program.
If I may, one more follow-up.
Well, yeah, I think you can follow up with me after the program because they really like to keep this like to the minute. but during the feast, we can definitely talk more about it. I'd love to. Thank you so much. Thank you for your time. Divine grace, Stacey. Welcome back to Swami. Feel a fellow Bob.